Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. We're out west, way west. Ashburn, VA, Commanders Park, getting ready for Philly this week. Obviously, a huge game for the Burgundy and Gold as they try to get to 10 wins on the season, take down their division rival. Eagles have won 10 in a row and look like an absolute wagon. Sure looks like the NFC is going to run through Philly, but that's why they play the games. B-Mitch has Christmas stuff. He's out being Santa Claus. So we got Toby Altizer filling in. What up, Tobo? How you
What's
doing,
going buddy? On, dude? It's good to be out here. First time out here in the media annex, chilling out where B-Mitch usually chills. So good to be out here.
Yeah, you're blown away by our spacious digs.
It's a beautiful setup, very luxurious.
Yeah, dude, listen, for a guy that had to do solo shows from a parking lot for a couple of years, it's pretty damn nice in here. Trust me.
Yeah. Much better than being outside today.
Obviously, yeah, it's cold out there. Obviously, the news. So, actually, I'm making a mental note, and when I make a mental note is I'm asking other people to remember because I won't.
Absolutely.
We have Doug Kammerer coming on at 12:30 to give us a weather update for what Sunday is going to look like because they're playing outdoors this weekend. Like fans, it's going to be packed. Apparently, ticket prices are through the roof this weekend. And I want to make a mental note. I contend, and I once got yelled at by Dan Snyder for saying this publicly. I think it's usually like 5 to 7 degrees colder in Ashburn than it is at my house inside the Beltway in Bethesda. I don't know if there's like an elevation change. Like we're kind of out towards the mountains this way, or at least like the hills. I don't know if it's windier out here. I don't know. But I'm telling you, consistently, me and Dan Steinberg, once upon a time, had this conversation, and Dan Snyder then yelled at us about it. But I'm telling you, consistently, it feels colder out here. So, Toby, you're in charge of reminding me to ask Doug.
I'll remember.
Okay.
I'll remember.
Good. I will not.
At least I'll try to remember.
Well, that's a lot less of a promise. We're also going to hear from Quan Martin today, Commander Safety, coming joining us at noon. Peter Rosenberg at 1:30. We're checking in on all things Philly with our guy Dave Zangaro at 11. Packed show, busy show. You're also going to hear from the coordinators, Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. We got a lot to do. It's the beginning of the week in the NFL. We got Thursday Night Football tonight. Bowl games are starting up last night. Did you watch? I think JMU beat the hell out of somebody last night, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they were playing Western Kentucky. I didn't watch that game. I had on the Cal game. They were playing UNLV. UNLV won. They ran a sick fake punt. Did you see that? They ran like a almost like a shallow screen on a fake punt.
I did not.
The punter threw like a chest pass, shovel pass over the line. Beautiful fake punt.
That was
punt.
Cal UNLV?
UNLV ran the fake punt. It was right. Beautiful. One of the better fake punts I've ever seen executed.
I am pulling this up. All right, I'm watching right now. Jimmy Traina says this is one of the best fake punt plays I've ever seen. All right, they snap to the punter. Oh, that is awesome. Because like, it allows him to like. Be, yeah. It looks like a punt.
Everybody's coming up. One of the gunners or whatever
on
the outside.
Did he house call this?
Oh, no, he got down to like the 20 or whatever. But yeah, one of the gunners from the outside cuts across like a shallow screen.
Yeah,
pop pass over the top. Worked perfectly.
That's great.
It's a genius.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Who won Cal UNLV?
UNLV.
Did you have any action?
I did not. No.
Do you gamble, Toby? I know you're a good, you're
I dabble.
Good boy.
I dabble.
You dabble?
I dabble.
Right, that's what I like to hear.
I'm not very good at dabbling, but I do.
You know, most aren't. They don't tell you that in the commercials. But JMU, I'm pretty sure, beat the hell
out
of
somebody.
Yeah, they did.
It was their first, I think it was Western Kentucky, it was their first ever bowl win. So congratulations
okay,
to them.
Okay, they won by 10. Good win. What college bowls we got tonight? Because I know the playoffs start tomorrow. Isn't it tomorrow night?
They do start tomorrow night. And I'm excited about these playoffs. I don't know how you felt about this, JP. I hated the 12-team format at first. But I think there's going to be some good games. I'm excited about this. I was
more
one that,
awesome college football. I'm never going to be mad about.
Yeah, I mean, I was more so frustrated with how some of the, you know, the political correctness and maybe not political, but like the way that these things work. Like Florida State gets left out despite being undefeated last year. Some of that craziness.
Yeah.
This year we're arguing that a 3-loss Bama team needs to be over SMU, who lost in a conference championship game to give them their second loss. I thought they did a good job with that, but I mean, we got some awesome games. I'm excited about what we got on the slate. I mean, these are going to be intriguing matchups to watch.
Totally.
I think it's one of those things too where.
Well, dude, Saturday's a triple header. Which is,
with two NFL games.
Yeah, the NFL games are kind of poo-poo, aren't they? No, I guess.
No, they're good ones.
Texas Chiefs, damn, they're both really good. Are they going head-to-head like that?
Well, the NFL has to do that because they want these teams to play on Wednesday.
On Christmas Day.
So that you'll notice the four teams playing on Saturday are the same four teams just reshuffled for Christmas Day. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a heck of a matchup for all those things. I mean, it's going to be a heck of a day for football. If you're a football fan, just sit on that couch all day Saturday. It might be the best football day of the year, honestly, where you've got
– Saturday, dude, is nuts. So Friday night is the college football playoff debut, I guess. Indiana, Notre Dame, Indiana in South Bend. I guess that's cool for them. That's like an in-state rivalry. On a personal level, I wish that was Bama going to Notre Dame. The excitement for that would be 50x what Indiana Notre
Dame. Well, I mean, the local angle is Coach Cignetti, first year at Indiana, gets his team into the playoff. I don't know how many people are still in on Coach Sig, but I think Indiana could win that. Everybody's kind of writing Notre Dame writing them in. I don't know. I kind of feel like Indiana could win this one.
Quick pause real quick. Landfill, is Coach Cignetti at Indiana the local angle for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, the whole region is just on pins and needles. They're not interested in Skins Eagles on Sunday or how bad the Wizards are.
This is
the
Friday
Hoyas
night.
Won.
Friday night.
Yeah, yeah, they're locked in on Coach Sig at Indiana. You know what's funny is I think everybody – like, every conversation I have is like, oh, Indiana's really going to give Notre Dame a fight. And, like, when you become kind of that public underdog, everybody thinks X will happen, I kind of think Notre Dame might just smoke them. One that I feel like I'm on a bit of an island with this. Nobody thinks SMU belongs. The way that team could – every time I bet an SMU game this year, I lost. And just about every time, I think I took the other team. Because I was like, oh, man, SMU sucks. So I think I might take SMU in the points. I don't know.
I'm
going to bet on all these.
The flip side of that is Penn State in big games never wins.
Yeah.
Like, they always seem to come up short. Like, how many times is it like top five matchup?
Just Oregon, Ohio State.
At Happy Valley, something big, and then all of a sudden Penn State loses these games. Even in a whiteout in Happy Valley. I'm interested to see the other thing that I'm a little bit frustrated with some of this stuff. James Franklin was talking about this, Penn State head coach, saying that the college football playoff kind of runs everything with this. Understandably so. It is the college football playoff.
Yeah, so they've dialed back
but
what
it's not
like the
really a home
cool
game.
College stuff you can do is.
So like apparently someone was saying that at the Shoe, Tennessee is going to get like a walkout video. What are we doing? Like the Eagles, if they were to – or if Washington goes to Philly in the playoffs, Washington's not getting a walkout video. Like – run it like a normal home game because that's the whole point of this.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I heard Ohio State doesn't get to play Hang on Sloopy, and like, I don't know. I try not to get too caught up in all that. There's no way Texas in Austin isn't going to have their full kind of cadre of light shows and everything that happens.
I mean, heck, I work with the Hokies. They made them not play Enter Sandman one time at a basketball game. The student section just sang it anyways. So there's ways around
some
of this
stuff.
Why
did they make them not sing?
I forget what it was. I forget what it was. I don't remember the exact scenario, but the student section just took over. So there are ways around it.
At University of Maryland, they've stopped doing this, but for a while, and it was such a dumb decision. Just lame, political correct dumbness. They stopped playing Rock and Roll Part 2 because the students would chant, "You suck." Like, what are we doing? We treat people like infants. It's absurd. I like Tennessee in the points. That D-line is nasty. We'll see. We got time to we have a college football guest tomorrow to preview everything. The biggest game in town is certainly going to be Commanders-Eagles this weekend. And kind of the biggest issue in town yesterday, I mean, you know that Tennessee, the people in Nashville and Buffalo, the people in Western New York, both of those cities, both of those football fan bases are building new stadiums. Like, they're just, they voted, they built, it's moving forward. Only in Washington. I mean, even in L.A., like, they were able to get, a stadium had a mudslide delay, but they were still able to get that thing built. Only in Washington does the act of just transferring control, let's be crystal clear, because this got very, very mixed up yesterday. The only thing that happened in that proposed legislation is to give control of the RFK site from the feds, who are just letting it rot. Go drive by. Tell me what they're doing with that land. They're letting it rot. The only thing that was proposed is to give control of the land from the federal government to the D.C. city government and allow them to develop and build a new stadium. There's no money attached, not a dime, as Jim Calhoun would say, not a dime. And yet, because of the city we live in and the carpet-bagging jerks that come here and pretend that it's a swamp, even though millions of us live here and it's just home, they insist on messing things up. They just insist upon it and, frankly, lying, outright lying about costs associated with things. All that legislation did was transfer control of the land. And now, depending who you ask, this thing looks to be on life support or maybe already dead. And it's just the little bit of high we got when it seemed like this was going to happen to what it is now, and it's just become another political football for whoever wants to try to grandstand or get their face on cable news to bark about. And just the lack of vision it shows, the lack of empathy or caring for the city all these carpet-bagging jerks have found themselves in. Oh, and by the way, whenever you move here, whatever city or state you come from, you end up staying here because you get rich here as lobbyists, you lying jerks. To not have the vision or the empathy to allow the city to develop a beautiful site. It's riverfront. If you do it right, you know what that is something that the entire nation can be proud of. But no, you'd rather score political points and political victories and be small-minded dorks. Please go back to your shanties wherever they are. Let us live. God damn it.
Yeah, I just want this thing done with. Like, honestly, it's such a unique area, obviously, with the three places, you know, Maryland, Virginia, D.C., fighting over it and what's going to happen and all, like you said, people coming in from the outside making decisions for our area, all of that. But as someone that doesn't get as caught up in all that, just give me a new stadium. Just give me one.
I don't agree with that. I think younger people, because I've heard Stallion say this too, like, oh, I just want the dopest, coolest stadium. I care where it is.
Okay, and I understand that, but just give me a stadium. At least figure out where it's going to be, because then I can at least get, except if it's just going to be next to FedEx Field now or Northwest Stadium, except if it's going to be at the RFK spot. It's clearly not going to be coming to Virginia. Like, just figure out where this thing is going to be.
Conversation about Virginia. Virginia has boxed themselves in as the place stadium deals go to die.
Yes.
So, like, Virginia ain't in the running. That's Virginia's bad.
100%.
And Landfill's happy about it. He doesn't want him. But, like, you can't seriously entertain a Virginia Stadium conversation anymore.
No.
Like, Jack Kent Cook, 30 years ago, I think, and Ted Leonsis each held a press conference on the same plot of land that they were going to build a stadium. That is the Bermuda Triangle of stadiums.
Yeah.
So I think That's an illegitimate conversation at this point. Now, there's tons of illegitimate conversations. For a month, people were talking about Bo Nix ahead of Jaden Daniels for Rookie of the Year. Nothing prevents illegitimate conversations in the era of content creation, right? But I'm done. I think maybe we're talking new practice facility. Maybe they want to build a burgundy and gold Hall of Fame somewhere. Yeah. Like, there, I think there are plenty of things Virginia's in play for. But the stadium, like, check, please. It's just not happening.
Well, and that's a good point, too, because, I mean, if you're – we talk about the three different municipalities going after this. You're right. Virginia's kind of out of this. So, really, it's Maryland and D.C. going after this thing. Can you just figure it out? I know you're going to care where it is. I know a lot of people that are older than I am care where it is. I frankly don't. Just build the stupid stadium. I'm going to go wherever it is. I'm going to show up and sit in the stands
wherever
it is.
That's because you never experienced what it was like to have it downtown.
Absolutely.
What if Nats Park was in Annandale, would you think it's at school?
No.
Right. Like that. Like you're saying that because you don't know what it
Correct.
Was like, but you recognize that if something else wasn't downtown, it would be less cool.
100%. I want it at RFK. There's definitively, I want it at RFK. I think it makes the most sense. I think when you have a stadium and you put it in the city, it's 100 times cooler than it being somewhere else randomly around the area. So I 100% agree with you, but my point is just build the stupid thing. Like, let's go. It's so frustrating because whenever we figure out where it's going to go, then we still have to wait. So I want to get that first hurdle out of the way. So I at least know, like, okay, now I can start planning because it's going to take a couple of years to build this thing. I'm excited for whatever it's going to be. It's going to be awesome.
A lot of years.
But hurry up. Like, enough is already. Like, we've waited years for this because we knew it was coming.
So if you're in the legit hurry-up camp, then you want them to stay in Maryland. Maryland has money on the table and a site. Like,
yeah.
The hurry-up camp is Landover.
They're the only ones
with cash on the table and ready to go.
So I don't know that I'm necessarily in the hurry up and build the stadium because you're right. That would go to Maryland. I'm more so
that's the only,
figure
the
out
only
where it's going.
The hurry up camp is Maryland. There, all right, so I don't know how much construction you've done on your home.
No.
Right? There are what the word in construction is there's three things you want. You want it done well, you want it done cheap, and you want it done fast, mm-hmm. right? No matter what construction company you choose, you only get two out of those three. You want well and fast. You want it built well and built fast. It's expensive as hell.
Yeah.
You want it cheap and fast, which is what they did at FedEx. You get a cheap product.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're not going to get all three of those things. So the best location is undoubtedly RFK Stadium. The most realistic location, the fastest location, is undoubtedly Maryland. To me, to do this right, and I've talked about this over and over and over. People's vision that this is just about a stadium for 10 games a year for the Commanders is so dumb. This is about transforming an area of the city and putting Washington on par with the great cities of America, of the world, frankly.
Yeah.
Like, you know why the World Cup goes back to Italy? Because they can play in a dope stadium outside of Rome. Like, the Meadowlands kind of sucks, but New York City's just such a gravitational pull that things go there. So they built SoFi in L.A. because they can get every single event in the world. They had to redo the Superdome because it was getting old and kind of junky. And they redid it. They put some money into it. It's dope because everybody loves New Orleans. Miami had to redo whatever the hell that stadium was called. Joe Robbie once upon a time. And now Hard Rock is sick. And Miami will get every great event. Paris, Tokyo, London. Like, if you want to be on par with those cities, you build this stadium. It's not just about football, you simple-minded, carpet-bagging idiots. Like, have a vision.
Yeah,
and everybody just refuses it.
You're right. I mean, the World Cup is coming to the North America in 2026. So the world is coming to the United States, Mexico, I think a couple games in Canada. You know where they're not playing?
Here.
D.C.
It's embarrassing.
The biggest country hosting this thing isn't going to even have their national capital represented because the stadium sucks. So you're 100% right.
And that's not to say that if they build a new one and it's nice and it's cool, events will go there. Like, there are still events going to Northwest Stadium. I don't want to be unfair to Northwest Stadium. They've had Beyonce for, I think, two nights this past summer. Next summer they got Metallica and AC/DC. Like, a lot of big-name acts go there. But it's getting harder and harder to ignore or perhaps put your head in the sand that Taylor Swift wouldn't come.
There you go.
World Cup wouldn't come. I think Springsteen only played Baltimore. I think he played Baltimore and Nats Park. Nats Park's going to continue to siphon away this stuff. It's a little bit smaller, and baseball's a little bit more difficult than a true football stadium. You know, just the layout's a little bit different. But people hate that place, and it doesn't have great infrastructure. There's an undeniable reason why some of this stuff isn't going there. And, you know, like, I am mentally prepared for the grandstanding of local D.C. politicians about the money that's going to be involved in building this stadium. I am mentally prepared for that, and I know that's coming. Fine. Cool. That at least you have a real leg to stand upon, because it's, you know, we're diverting money from public schools to build a stadium. I can understand that. Now, my rationalization would be, yeah, but it's an investment, and it'll come back 20-fold, right? Like, that's how I view it. I recognize others view that differently and have a somewhat legitimate – there's a somewhat legitimate argument there. What is currently happening by these people on a federal level that come to this city, that claim they don't want to, yet they fight like hell to get here, and then they're just denying what the people here want, is so incredibly frustrating. It is beyond frustrating that we continue to have our lives dictated by people that don't freaking live here. Please go away. Never come back. If you think it's a swamp, get the hell out of here. It's not that hard. Get the hell out of here. Dave Zingaro at 11.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I screamed at senators and congressmen from other areas because they're all full of it. If you want to hear that, get on the Odyssey app and hit rewind. Good morning to the boys in the aquarium. Jeffrey, Landini, how do we do?
Great. What's up, JP?
What up, Jeff? How are you, bud?
Yes? Breaking news on the fan.
Breaking news on the fan.
We have a new member of the show now.
Who's that?
Brian. He runs the stream now.
Who's Brian?
He runs the stream now.
Okay. News to me, but I mean, I was never told we were streaming until the day a little camera showed up in the studio. So, terrific. Welcome, Brian. Great to have you. Can I send me a picture of Brian. Let me see what he looks like. Looks like our guy Strizzy was first to say hello on the stream. He said, "What up, fam?" And then he trolled Gerald. He said, "Sorry, Gerald, not today. Sorry, bruh." Jeff had that joint on early. Interesting times here. I think a lot of people liked me screaming about what happened from Congress, and I am not scared of saying what I said. Lanville has a fun idea here. If you look at what is the timeline on this since 2020, Landini?
Yeah.
Okay. The worst mistakes for every NFL franchise since 2020. Let's just the four of us. I haven't looked. I'm guessing Lanville looked. What's the worst mistake Washington made since 2020?
Oh, since 2020?
And does this mean like since the end of 2020 or including the 2020 draft, Lanville?
Not sure.
Okay. Well, it's pretty obvious if you're including the draft to not take.
Yeah, it's got to be Chase Young, right?
Yeah, I mean, to not take Herbert, I would
Correct.
Say. But if you like Tua. But that is real revisionist history.
Correct.
At the time, that was not a realistic thing. I mean, if you want to get. Dude, the decision to roll with Scott Turner instead of Kevin O'Connell.
Yes.
For Ron, pretty darn telling.
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz was 22, right?
Yeah, I mean, sticking with Heinicke, Fitzpatrick, you can go down the quarterback list, basically, and name a few of those since 2020.
Yeah, I mean, even the role with Howell, you know, didn't work out. I mean, the decision to go get Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
Honestly, Jamin Davis, Emmanuel Forbes with Christian Gonzalez there.
Having Ron be the general manager, does that count?
It might.
Worst mistake? I mean, look at none of his first-round picks are here.
Changing the name to Commanders?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there's better names available.
Yeah, I mean.
The not poop water that came out of that pipe? Jeff, it was not poop water. Damn it. You know that, right?
I mean, we could spend the whole 4 hours going through the mistakes since 2020.
Let's just be clear, though, Toby. It was not poop water.
It was not.
It was rainwater.
It was rainwater.
Because rainwater's in pipes, always.
And brown.
And rather than just gutters. Every major facility has their rainwater come inside in pipes rather than just wash off in gutters. Right, Jeff? It was not poop water, all right? I don't know how the hell ESPN came up with this list, but their biggest mistake since 2020, and this is a bad one, they go drafting Emmanuel Forbes with the number 16 pick last year, 2023. First-round picks aren't locks to succeed. About 40% of round one selections taken since the league moved to the slotted draft format in 2011 have either been cut before the end of their original deals or failed to earn a fifth-year option, which is far closer to a coin flip than some might expect. The upside of landing a potential difference maker on a bargain deal for 5 years is what makes those picks valuable. Not many first-round picks are cut midway through their second season in the league, though. Some players are released, in part or mostly because of off-field issues, including former Titans offensive tackle Isaiah Wilson and former Raiders cornerback Damon Arnett. But most teams give their first-round picks at least 2 years to prove themselves before moving on. Given that first-round contracts are already guaranteed, the only reason to release a round-one pick would be if the organization believes he can't play and it can't find a viable trade market to move him. Forbes is one of those exceptions. As the Commanders turned over their coaching staff and front office between the Ron Rivera regime and the Adam Peters, Dan Quinn-led group, Forbes was benched as a rookie amid inconsistent play. The new regime gave him 32 snaps as a starter in the Week 1 loss to the Buccaneers, but after committing a pass interference penalty in the third quarter, he was benched and never started another game for Washington. After 72 more defensive snaps over the next 3 months, the Commanders cut Forbes in early December. The Rams claimed him on waivers and picked up the remaining $5 million on his contract, which will qualify as a victory for the Commanders from their perspective. It's difficult to blame Peters and company for the prior regime's mistakes, but fans can only imagine what would have happened if Rivera had chosen differently. The next player off the board in the first round was another cornerback, Patriots star Christian Gonzalez, who should be in the Pro Bowl this season. That's a bad one. I know for a fact there were members of that front office that were screaming to take Gonzalez.
Well, and
I know that Ron liked doing his own thing.
Well, the question is, they have that video last year of him driving in to the war room saying, Forbes is there. Gonzalez was there. You didn't expect him to be there. They should have taken Gonzalez. But even other dudes like Deontay Banks would still be on this team if you drafted Banks. Joey Porter Jr. went behind him. Brian Branch was someone that we were talking about potentially going there. He goes in the second round. Like, there were dudes that could have gone there that weren't just Christian Gonzalez that would have been an upgrade. And you've been out here much more than I have, JP, but I've come out here for two training camps. And there's only one person that I've ever feared, like, oh boy, this dude just doesn't look like a football player, and it's Forbes. He'd be back there catching punts, and you look at his legs, and you're like, this dude almost looks sickly. He's so small.
Yeah, there's
he's able to make it work, I guess, because he hasn't had huge injury issues so far, but he also hadn't been on the field much this year. But it's just wild. Like, when he got signed by the Rams, and then they put out the video, and everybody just roasted him because of how small his legs were. It's jarring every time you see him compared to everybody else.
Emmanuel's a nice young man, and, you know, I don't want to be overly critical towards the fella, but the reason you had to cut him, when he's on the field, it's 10-on-11 in the run game. Mm. There is not only an inability to defend the run in that he's not good at it, there's an unwillingness to defend the run, and that is a size thing. That is a getting blasted thing. And maybe you didn't see that on the tape because, I mean, in Ron's defense, Forbes was considered a first rounder by, like, the NFL cognoscente, by, like, the NFL group of leaders. They considered him a first rounder, right? But at the same time, the Gonzalez thing to me is particularly appalling because he went next. They had to cut him. I still, if you're going biggest mistake since 2020, and we're only talking like front office personnel stuff, I don't even think it's that. I still think it'd be Chase over Herbert. The William Jackson III contract was really,
true.
Really bad.
That's a bad one.
There's a lot of bad, dude. there's a lot of bad.
Well, and my thing too, like, we're gonna go back to, you talk about the draft picks with Ron. I think the bigger indictment on Ron was his lack of ability to develop these guys. Because, you know, you go back to the Dotson pick. Dotson was at worst a second rounder, right? Second rounders pan out all the time in this league and turn into good receivers. You talk about Forbes. At worst, he's a late first rounder, maybe early second rounder. Someone's picking him up, and if they put him in the right scheme, they can make it work. You look at all these guys, Jamin Davis included. He probably gets drafted at worst, middle of the second round. So it's not as – Ron overdrafted these guys, sure, but when you combine overdrafting with not developing the guys, that's how you end up with no one from the first round being left on this team.
You know what DQ said yesterday? It's interesting you say that, because B always would hammer this, that you got to coach 1 to 53, not just your starters. And that was a thing during the Gruden era, and a lot of that I would say kind of stemmed from Bruce and Dan in this culture of they just cared about the stars and everybody else was just a guy. But DQ said this yesterday, and I wanted to make sure I hit it, and this is a great time. He was asked about the depth. I think Chick asked him about the depth, and he said, because, I mean, they're losing a lot of players, right?
Yeah.
He said, and DQ mentioned, all right, we lost Biadasz. That clearly created some adversity, right? When those things, now I'm reading from DQ yesterday. When those times do come, that player's been in those environments as often as you can. From the coaching side, it's really important that every player in the room has the responsibility for game day. You've heard us talk a lot about development. So if you're in the running back room, so basically he's saying that would be irresponsible because we're not developing him, not just the skills, but the football acumen to go. Each player in the game plan, they're responsible for that for the week, even if they're unlikely to play in that game. You just don't know when a guy gets sick, something happens at practice, and the next person has to be available. So I think that it's important we look at this as not a 53 or a 48, but 65, where it's everybody can be into that. And that's why at practice, all of the players play. You've seen the scout teams holding up cards. I think that's an important piece to this. If you really want a competitive team, the pressure has to be on everyone to deliver. You don't know who could win the game for you, and so you have to put that pressure on them to get that done. You look at Detroit as the injuries keep piling up, and they keep stacking wins. You look at Kansas City as they just like the best organizations, the best teams in the NFL do that, and DQ certainly has Washington doing that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't preach next man up if the next man's not ready, right? Yeah. Like, the next man
or
needs to be able to step in.
Gets a chance to be ready.
Yeah, and I think, too, just tying it back to the drafting stuff, like, you got to think with Adam Peters this year, everybody praises this year's draft, but it's not like he just took the top guy consensus on every board. He took guys that were talented and that fit. And that's something that didn't necessarily happen with the previous regime. You might draft a talented guy that's a little further down the board, but he didn't fit. And this year, that seems like they drafted guys to fit. We'll see, you know, as Luke McCaffrey goes on, as he get more involved, and Ben Sinnott. You know, I'm not talking necessarily this year, but down the line. But it seems like they've drafted guys that fit. They fit the culture that they're trying to build here. They're working hard. And to your point, you know, even if Luke McCaffrey's not playing, you know, as the number two receiver now that Noah Brown's gone, we saw De'Ami Brown kind of step in that role. Luke McCaffrey's still getting work in the week. He's going to be ready to go if he's called upon. Ben Sinnott's going to be ready to go if he's called upon. And that doesn't just go for the rookies. They're making sure all these guys are ready. That, to me, is a sign of good coaching staff.
Talking Eagles at 11. Nobody go anywhere.
Toby Altize are in for Beamidge today. So, going into the playoffs, hopefully Washington can get to that 7 seed. Longest playoff win droughts in the NFC.
I don't care.
You don't care?
I mean, I get it because it's something that occurred, right? Like, these are factual. But everything is so brand new here.
Correct.
That, like, the incredible ineptitude of various previous regimes. And, like, go back to Mike Shanahan, who everybody's fist fighting to put in the Hall of Fame. He couldn't win a playoff game.
Yeah.
I think two of the things we'll look back as a society in 50 years is the decision to push opioids and arrest people for marijuana is incredibly stupid. And the fact that Joe Gibbs' greatest accomplishment might have been winning a playoff game in Dan Snyder's ownership.
It's true.
It's crazy. I mean, it took Joe Gibbs, a guy that went to 4 Super Bowls in, 12 years. He was here 4 years and he could win a playoff game. And that's the only playoff game they've won in this millennium.
So
I just don't care about that.
I don't even remember that game, JP. I'm so young. I don't even remember that game.
Really?
I don't. I remember losing to the Seahawks the
following
week.
How old are you? You're the actual youngest in charge.
Yeah, I'm 26. So I don't
remember. Hold on. So the claiming youngest in charge is what, 27, 28?
Yeah, 27.
You're not even young anymore.
No.
Young compared to me, but to a 21-year-old, that's ancient.
No. So, but I don't even remember that game.
How old's Stallion?
I think he's a year younger than me. I think he's 25.
So he's the youngest in charge.
He would be the youngest in charge.
That dude's in charge of nothing.
Yeah, so I don't even remember that game. Like, everything that I remember about this team has been bad, essentially.
It's
a 2012 season.
All I'm saying is, like, as somebody that's been here now for some time, and I've seen it all just as a DC fan, as a Skins fan growing up, but, like, I've seen it professionally now for a decade. More than that, I guess. It's so dramatically different that to continue to point to this stuff from the past. Yo, like, let's say, like, the Cowboys loss was terrible, right? That had nothing to do with similar losses from 7 years ago or 17 years ago. And the feeling inside the building, coaching staff, leadership, organizational alignment from ownership to GM, to head coach, to quarterback, like, everything is just so different that whatever that playoff win drought is, I guess, is since 05, right?
05,
January
yep.
of 06. It's relevant in that those are facts with certainty, but, like, it's irrelevant because Jaden Daniels might not have been born.
Well, and
you know,
it's,
like, it's just, it's so different.
It's so different because you look back at their playoff history. They lost in 2020. You remember that game, Taylor Heinicke making his start against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. The last time I felt somewhat confident going into a playoff game like they could actually win was 2015 against the Packers when they lost 35-18 with Kirko. And the reason you feel confident was because, you know, Green Bay wasn't playing well that year. And so that's, like, the last time. It's been, what, almost a decade since you felt like there was a real shot that they could win a playoff game? And
that, I think,
but you feel that way this year.
In 2012, in Robert's year, I think there was far more optimism towards, like, all right, this team could get kind of hot here.
Well, they're up at halftime of that game. So, you know, 2012.
Kirk's year, too, they looked really good late.
But, you, like, my point is, like, you look at this year's team, to your point about it being different, you actually feel like this team, if they get in, even if they have to go to Philly in the wild card round, they've got a shot. You know, 2020, they didn't have a shot. We knew that. Taylor Heinicke starting against the GOAT, Tom Brady. We knew that. That was a fun game. We loved the lore of it. They were never winning that ball game. They were in there because they won the NFC East when everyone sucked. Like, congratulations. But you feel like no matter who they face off against, even if it falls that they have to go to Detroit or they have to go to Minnesota in the wild card round, would it shock people around the NFL if Washington won?
No.
Absolutely not. And but that's something that's different about this team.
Even more than that, even if they lose, right? If they lose a wild card opener, say they go to Minnesota as the 2 seed and lose. Say they go to Detroit as the 2 seed and lose. I think it'll feel incredibly different because the Robert year, we might not have known it then, but it was a 1 year rocket ship, right? Yeah. And the injuries kind of undid everything, and then Robert and Shanahan kind of undid everything, and then Robert was kind of washed because of the injuries. The Kirk year, they just weren't good enough. I think there were some fundamental flaws along the way. They always had tough injuries, and I think it's asinine that Jay's not back in the league running offense. I don't know if it was a Bruce call or if it was Jay's call, but they never got good enough leadership on the defensive side of the ball throughout that run to make a real chance at it. The 7-9 was obvious fool's gold. And one of the things that bothered me tremendously was after they lost to Tampa and then Tampa went and won the Super Bowl, I wrote a pretty scathing column about how stupid it was to try to claim some sort of moral victory about competing in the playoffs with the eventual Super Bowl champ. And one of what I think is a huge flaw of that Rivera regime was that one of them called me the next day pissed. They're like, yo, we're trying to build something. Why would you write that? We've got all this momentum. You got lollipops and rainbows, dude. Like, yeah. You lost. They were in control of that game. Heinicke scores late to make it look better than it was. That bothered me fundamentally. This team, even if they lose in the first round, which, dude, if they're going to Detroit or Minnesota or Philly, what are they, 9-point dogs?
Yeah, at least.
I don't know. Maybe it's a little tighter if it's Philly playing
a
third time.
But even
if that happens, the trajectory is so obviously pointing up, and the infrastructure surrounding the trajectory is so dramatically different than it used to be that it just all should feel differently. Even if we get hit with this playoff drought statistic in a month, like you should recognize the delineation point between what was and what is.
The most encouraging thing for me about this season has been that it seems sustainable, and you could make the argument that this might be the worst roster that Jaden's going to play with, at least during his rookie contract, if not for his entire career, because look how many people they had to turn over. They're building something here, and they're just at the ground floor, and they're probably going to make the playoffs. So you got to feel really good about where you're going. So even if you lose a playoff game, it feels like, okay, even if you're not able to get over the hump this year, it's coming soon. That's something that hasn't felt like that here in a long, long time.
Agreed. Let's check in on Philly, though, because they look like an absolute wagon. They've won 10 in a row. That defense is playing at an elite level. Our guy Dave Zangaro covers the Eagles, joins us next.